Wednesday at this time is usually Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, and it is so again today. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the forming trade agreement with negotiations still going on. That's one topic. The other one is higher speed limits now under discussion for Oregon. Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Well, not questions, but comments. 800-838-3760 around the region by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with the more complicated issue, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. The Obama administration describes it as a 21st century trade agreement that will boost U.S. economic growth, support American jobs, and grow made-in-America exports to some of the most dynamic and fastest-growing countries in the world. Close quote. The view is much less optimistic from groups concerned about American jobs, some of the same groups and people who did not like the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, and a variety of other free trade pacts. TPP has been in the works for more than 10 years, with negotiations continuing on the details among 12 countries. By some accounts, the TPP, if it comes to be, will cover as much as 40% of the world's trade. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden and President Obama are taking flack for supporting the TPP. Let's hear your take on the TPP. Think it's a good idea in principle, needs work on details, or a horrible idea that should be junked no matter what? While you're at it, feel free to include your feelings about the effects of previous trade agreements. 800-838-3760, around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Item 2 on this Vents Day is a bit less complicated, speed limits on the open road. The Oregon legislature is considering a bill that would raise speed limits on some roadways. Don't get excited if you're a frequent traveler in Interstate 5. That road would not be affected. But I-84 between the Dalles and the Idaho border would go from 65 miles an hour to 75. State Highway 97 north out of Klamath Falls would go to 70 miles an hour. And a number of other roads east of the Cascades in wide open country would see limits raised. What do you think? Saving time for people on long drives? Asking for more accidents and injuries somewhere in the middle? Join us with your thoughts on higher speed limits and the Trans-Pacific Partnership on Vents Day. First call on this Vents Day goes to Nicole in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I just want to make a succinct comment. I think the TPP should be called the VBI. Very bad idea. It is another NAFTA in a different guise, and the last one trashed our economy. Why would anyone even be able to? Why would President Obama want a repeat of that? I just don't understand. Thank you very much.
All right, so from TPP to VBI, very bad idea. Loud and clear. Thanks for that, Nicole. Let's go to Jacob and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
I want to comment on both parts, Jeffrey.
Okay.
But in terms of, we could do something right now that can raise your fuel economy in your car without getting a new car, without, you know, turbocharging it, without getting new tires. It'll increase your economy by 20%. Let's say the average speed limit, the average speed on the highway right now is 70. Well, let's say 75, okay, mm-hmm. You know, on Interstate 5. If we were lower the speed limit to 55, your car would get 20% better fuel economy. It'd go, if you get, let's say, 36 miles on the highway, you'd get over 40. And if you lower the speed limit, you lower the death rates. I mean, this is common sense. You lower the accident rates, and you also lower the rates of accidents in cities that cause traffic jams and congestion. So you actually improve road speed in cities, okay? So I think it's a no-brainer, actually, that people don't understand this, but aerodynamics at high speeds really cuts into your fuel economy. And internal combustion engines are optimized for about approximately 2,000 to 2,500 RPM. And that actually is anywhere between 35 to 55 where you get the optimal miles per gallon.
I remember the old manuals that used to have the little graphic of the dollar flying away. Remember it said speeds mm-hmm. above 50 miles an hour will greatly increase your gasoline consumption?
Away.
No, you don't want them flying away.
So my other point is regarding the Trans-Pacific trade, mm-hmm. that one of the benefits is, and most people overlook this, is there's lower consumer costs, especially when you go to a department store or even groceries. And most people benefit from more trade because they get approximately 20 to 25% increased purchasing power when you could buy, you know, overseas goods, high quality goods. I mean, if you a Japanese car is that a lot more reliable and dependable than Detroit iron. And if you don't have to repair your car and have to spend a lot of time in the repair shop and get recalled, then you actually are better off in the long run because you have a more efficient purchase, a more effective purchase, something that lasts and services you longer. So I'm for Trans-Pacific trade because I think people don't take into account the added benefit of lower costs of goods and higher quality products.
Are you concerned at all about jobs, though? Because that seems to be the major concern about this and any other trade agreement, is that if you start making it easier for companies to produce products overseas, then they'll take their jobs over there and leave American workers in the lurch.
And I have faith in American innovation and progress that we could adjust to a new economy where we want educated, high quality, you know, brain jobs. You know, we don't need more labor jobs. We actually need more jobs to produce high quality products that have added value.
All right, so not so much the manual labor anymore. Appreciate the call there, Jacob. Thanks so much. This is the Vents Day segment of the Jefferson Exchange. Your venting, your polite venting is welcome on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the higher speed limits proposed for Oregon. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let us take a call now from, if the button will push, yikes, number six is always a tough one. Wow, harder than usual today. There we go. Jeff in Roseburg, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hello. Well, they say they're doing their gun control about saving one life, but they want to raise the speed limits, and that costs lives. So, you know, they don't need to raise speed limits. TPP thing is, why do they want to fast track it? Why, you know, we have a form of government where there's three bodies and they're supposed to talk things over, and why do they have to fast track it? We're not supposed to have a dictator that can just go over there and make rules and treaties and then have our Congress have nothing to say.
Yeah, the fast-track trade authority is one thing that has really certainly blasted Senator Ron Wyden from some quarters in Oregon because he approves the fast-track authority to negotiate the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah, we don't know what's in the bill, so we don't know really even what we're talking about. But the Congress is supposed to. Why are they giving up their authority and their responsibility to look things over and negotiate? They just say, oh, we'll just let this one person do it. You know, that's what, and he has, you know, the president has people behind him to work on it, but the Congress is supposed to do those things, not just the president and his advisors or whoever it is.
Yeah, it certainly does take the form of a treaty, which raises the question about the fast-track authority, which has been used before, as I understand. Jeff, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate that. Let's take another call on this Vents Day from Wayne in Wolf Creek. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking Trans-Pacific Partnership and higher speed limits.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Boy, this happens real quick. Anyway, the gentleman before me, Jeff, needs to get rid of the nameless they who does all these treaties and do a little research on the history of treaties. But the other gentleman was talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership with these free trade deals, lowering cost. Sir, look at your history. Tell me when costs have gone down. Okay, especially for the blue-collar working man and below. Thank you so much, folks. Have a good day.
All right, take care, Wayne. Appreciate that. Let's see. We have another call here. Not a call, but an email from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. He gives us a link to Ellen Brown's Web of Debt blog about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the death of the Republic. And I believe these are her words, not his. He says that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is blatantly unconstitutional. Neoliberalism and corporate contributions seem to have blinded the deal's proponents so much that they cannot see they are selling out the sovereignty of the United States to foreign and multinational corporations. Read the article, says Grumpy John in Grants Pass. And he says, there you go. We are simply done badly. I'll use a different word from what he used. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts and comments on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and higher speed limits. Welcome. 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Mark in Reading, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, good morning. Yes, it's all wonderful to have a service economy and grain economy, but sadly, only about 25% of our citizens are able to graduate from college and therefore get these fabulous jobs. So how do we deal with this? We import workers from low-wage areas on HB-15C visas, and then they get green cards, and then they're here, and it works really beautifully for them and for the people that they work for because they get them for less money than they would if they had to pay somebody trained in the United States. And it's really fabulous for the wealthy and the 1% and the 0.1%, but the rest of us are just out of luck when it comes down to most things like that. So I think it's wonderful to have a Trans-Pacific Partnership, but I'd really like to have something happening for the people in this country instead of for people everywhere else. Thank you and good day.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate that. Take another call here from Ren and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Trans-Pacific Partnership and higher speed limits, the topics.
Thank you. I understand that one of the aspects of the TPP is that corporations will have the power to sue nation states if nation states' environmental laws basically get in the way of corporations making their profits. And I think this is a huge and terrible mistake. Robert Reich mentioned that the TPP is basically Obama's having to pay back the moneyed interests who supported his election, very similar to Clinton passing NAFTA at the end of his administration. And I think it's a terrible idea, and I think the reason why they want to fast-track it is because they don't want the public to know what it's really involving. And, of course, slowing people down is great, but good luck.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much for that. Yeah, higher speed limits, again, one of our other topics here. Most people are going for the Trans-Pacific Partnership discussion. But the Oregon legislature talking about speeding up I-84, not in any of the metro areas, but between the Dalles and the Idaho border. It would go from 65 miles an hour to 75 miles an hour. Highway 97, not a freeway, north out of Klamath Falls would go from 55 to 70 miles an hour. And a number of other roads east of the Cascades, where the people are few and far between in Oregon, they would see their limits raised up to 70 miles an hour. So that was the other topic that we're talking about on Vince Day. Your comments and calls are welcome at 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The other topic, of course, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The Oregonian weighed in with an editorial early in the month of April, which reads in part, "The TPP debate has become so contentious in part because the politics of trade expose divides in both political parties. Among Democrats, opponents include labor unions, which fear losing jobs, and environmental groups, which have concerns about environmental policies in some of the countries. On the other side, the Obama administration and its congressional supporters see the treaty as a key to establishing fair trade regulations that will allow U.S. companies to sell more goods and ultimately create more jobs. In the Republican Party, the divide has more to do with political power. Traditionally, the party has supported free trade, but some Republicans don't want to give President Barack Obama authority to make decisions without congressional approval, hence the fast-track trade authority mentioned earlier. Some in each party express concern about enforcement of trade treaties, the Oregonian writes. History suggests that concern is justified, but without trade treaties, there's no enforcement because each country sets its own rules. Meanwhile, China is pursuing its own treaties with trade partners, treaties that unquestionably will have lower labor and environmental standards than ones negotiated by the United States. The Oregonian goes on to say few states would benefit more from increased access to foreign markets than Oregon, which exported $27 billion in goods and services in 2013. The 11 countries other than the United States participating in this trade treaty include 8 of Oregon's top 12 export markets. Trade benefits all areas of the state, from athletic apparel and semiconductor companies in the Portland area to wheat farmers in eastern Oregon to berry growers and wine producers in the Willamette Valley and southern Oregon. The Oregonian concludes, Oregonians should cheer Wyden as he helps negotiate for increased trade transparency, but they should also expect him and the rest of Congress ultimately to reach a deal on both Trade Promotion Authority and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So the Oregonian weighing in favor of TPP and the Fast Track Authority and telling people to leave Senator Ron Wyden alone for his support of the Fast Track Trade Authority. What do you think? Good thing to be moving into this another deal like NAFTA, like CAFTA, like other trade agreements? Is the TPP just too much? Have you seen too much of trade agreements to like any of them? Is that the issue now, or is it just something about this particular one that troubles you more than any other? 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. jx@jeffnet.org by email. Our other topic, speed limits. I mean, is 55 just fine for some of these open roads that are not freeways east of the Cascades? In open country, should you be able to go a bit faster? Bear in mind that stopping distances increase greatly as your speed goes up. Your car is going to get a little more mangled if you wreck it at 70 than it will at 55. Talk about the things that come into the conversation for you as we talk about higher speed limits. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Welcome to Paul in Grants Pass. Thanks for joining us on Vince Day.
Good morning. I'm going to address both topics. I'm going to start with the easy one first. If you raise the speed limit, speed does kill. You will have more accidents. You will have more injuries. You will have more property damage. And more to the point, whatever you do, whatever you set the speed limit at, some yogurt head is going to drive 10 to 15 over it because they think they can get away with it. Just a fact of life. It's human nature.
Yeah, the 10 miles over is a pretty standard thing, I think.
Pretty much. So that's my view on that. You know, if these people want to do that, if the roads are properly engineered, if the vehicles are properly engineered, then it's just the nut behind the wheel that needs to be adjusted. So there's that piece. Trans-Pacific, I have to weigh in with Grumpy John and weigh in on his side of it. I, unlike many people, I'm not opposed to globalization, and that's really what this is all about, is the globalization of trade and the creation of effectively a common market throughout the world. Unfortunately, with the economics also come certain political pieces. And where John seems to think that if we do this, we will lose our sovereignty to the multinationals and all of that, I would posit that we have already lost our sovereignty. When the Koch brothers can sink $900 million into an election, when the Chinese can put untold amounts of money into both political parties to try and buy political favors in the U.S. in elections, then that has already happened. And you and I both know that that happens with the multinational corporations. What this does is it does erode national sovereignty, and it puts people that I'm really not comfortable with in a position to impact my life more profoundly than they do now in very bad ways. You know, when you start looking at some of the components that have been released on the Trans-Pacific. Again, globalization, I think it's inevitable that we're going to wind up doing it. But I think we should not be doing globalization where we have a legislative system that creates, a government that is by the corporations, for the corporations, and of the corporations.
It certainly would seem to increase the ability of corporations to make money and not necessarily through improving the lives of its workers, but that remains to be seen, I suppose.
Well, it may allow foreign corporations to nullify American laws, particularly environmental laws, on American soil.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate that. That is going to require some more exploring that I think we should get to in a future segment of the exchange, because that aspect of trade agreements is one that comes up a lot, where there will be the governing body that oversees the implementation of a trade agreement that will say, well, you know, those environmental laws are a little strong in your country, country X, and I don't honestly know where things go from there. I mean, does that mean we do stop enforcing our own environmental laws? So we'll talk about that in a future edition of the Jefferson Exchange. Right now, let's go to Tony in Talent, actually in Las Cruces, New Mexico today. Tony from Talent, thanks for joining us on Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Yeah, the reason that I can talk to you like this and listen to you is because I have an iPhone conceived in America and manufactured mainly in China. Are we saying this is a bad thing? Had there not been world trade increased significantly over the last few decades, this place would have looked like, this country would have looked like bloody Cuba with 90s, 50s style Detroit cars. Probably also have Cuba's rate of imprisonment of political prisoners too. But the progress is made inevitably through trade. That's the lesson of history. And to think otherwise, and I have to go, it seems. I've got somebody else on the line. Excuse me.
Well, all right. Thanks for joining us, Tony. I'm glad we could be fit into your schedule today. Let's go to, let's first like an email from Jay. Don't see what town it is. He writes that the TPP is NAFTA 2. And says, during the not-so-great recession post-2008 onward, the Mexican amount of factories more than doubled early on. This whole scam was drafted in a back room out of the public eye. Fast track, why? That from Jay, no town given. Let's take another call here from Malcolm in Grants Pass. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, it's hard to say exactly what's in that treaty, obviously, because it's been kept pretty close to the chest by whoever's writing it, which I guess is mostly corporations. So the main source of information that I've gotten about it was from Ron Wyden himself. And it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and he was telling us how horrible it was, and for all the reasons that I've heard mentioned today. And he said that he was only allowed to go in there, and he was the head of, I forget which committee, so they let him go in there, and they said, no, you can't bring any assistance. You can't even bring pencil and paper, but you can come in and read it if you want, all 2,000 pages. And he just thought it was horrible. Now he's saying it's great. So has he been bought out or bought off, or has something actually changed that makes him really approve it and it's not as bad as we think?
Don't know.
I don't either. How are we supposed to find out?
And it's one of the things that a lot of people have commented about, though, not on this program today, but in general, is that the details are still so unknown. And it has been going on now, I was looking back, 2004, I think, is when there was first discussion of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So more than 10 years now discussing this, and you have to wonder what are some of the real holdups here that's keeping this from happening. It probably really took a slow throttle during the recession when people weren't really thinking about increasing trade, just trying to maintain what they had. But it's been a long time coming for the details on this thing.
Well, unless something happens to change my mind, I'm 100% against it, and I'm really angry with Wyden. So we'll see what comes down. Thank you.
All right, Malcolm, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you again. Kathy in Grants Pass writes to Vince Day, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, has been kept secret out of mainstream media. That in itself should be a red flag and enough to never accept this corporate coup. Our system has been hijacked, compliments of our government. Then we have a final email from Stephen in Eugene, who writes, thumbs up to higher speed limits. In Texas, the speed limit is 85. I typically drive an older van. However, I just drove a new rental car across the state of Jefferson and had areas where I could easily go 75 to 80 miles an hour without even noticing. Interestingly, with the 6-speed transmission, it still got excellent fuel economy, which gets back to the discussion before about the fact that cars should be burning a lot more gasoline at the higher speed limits. It seems like cars have probably been adjusted to fit where speed limits have gone in recent years. Yes, it's still 65 in Oregon, but it's 70 on open freeways in California, and Oregon is talking about increasing the rates as well, not on Interstate 5, which is one part of the question I forgot to ask, is how you'd feel about higher speed limits in Interstate 5. Not part of this discussion. The speed limits in Oregon in the bill under consideration would go up between the Dalles and the Idaho border on I-84 up to 75 miles an hour. It would affect our region, particularly north of Klamath Falls, where Highway 97 would go to 70 miles an hour. So we will see what the Oregon legislature does on that. We will see what the Obama administration and Congress do about the Trans-Pacific Partnership in the weeks ahead. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part in Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.